Good morning, church. It's good to be with you this morning. Good to know that the Holy Spirit is always at work, that there is not a single person who is here that is here by accident today. Every one of you, by the grace of the Holy Spirit, has been called to be a part of what God is doing in the world, called to be a part of what God is doing here in this place, called to be a part of this community that Jesus has placed you in. It's not an accident that you are where you are, here in this church and in your daily life. God can use you, each one, to make the day a little brighter, to lead someone into a life-changing, world-altering relationship with Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter whether you are 4 or 3 or 2, whether you are 80 or 90 or 100, God has a purpose and plan for your life. And today we celebrate that in this time we call Easter. I invite you to come with me into Scripture. We'll see if this guy will settle himself down. He's been very good. He was at the first service and was sitting very quietly. And it's hard when you're 5 to sit for 2 church services, isn't it? It's hard when you're 35 to sit through 2 church services, but thankful for his presence. Listen for God's word speaking to you through these ancient words today. Then Peter began to speak. I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what is right. You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, announcing the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know what has happened throughout the province of Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. We are witnesses of everything he did in the country of the Jews and Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on a cross. But God raised him from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen. He was not seen by all the people, but by witnesses whom God had already chosen, by us, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, and everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. Jesus is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Pray with me, friends. God, this time is yours, and this people are yours. This world is yours. I would pray that you would pour out your Holy Spirit upon us all, that we might receive a word from you. May I decrease. May you increase in this time. Use it, for it is yours. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, it is Easter. What a glorious celebration it is. I remember growing up as the family of 4. I was the youngest one, and Every week, Mom would get us off to church, all 4 of us, and we would go to Sunday school, and we would go to church, but there was something special about Easter. I didn't dress like this when I went to church. I dressed in jeans and t-shirt. You know, I just went and praised the Lord, but there was something special about Easter, and I had to wear a suit, and I had to put on a tie, and we were poor, and I was the youngest of 4, so I wore the same suit about 3 or 4 years in a row. And every year it got tighter and tighter as I would go to church. And it was something about Easter that Mom made sure that we were showered and dressed very nicely as we would go to the church. And it was always a great Sunday to be there, and the music was always beautiful, the sermon was always great. It was always a great time. And the next week would come, and Mom would get us all ready to go again, and we'd be right back to the jeans and a t-shirt, and we'd go to church again and experience that same love that Jesus had poured out from his cross, and we celebrated on Easter. Guess what? We did it all over again the following Sunday, and then we did it the next Sunday. You see, every Sunday is Easter when you have received the love of Jesus Christ poured out through the grace of the Holy Spirit. There's not a Sunday that goes by when we don't celebrate the resurrection. Each and every week when the church gathers, it's a glorious thing. But I wonder, because it seems so long ago, doesn't it? Now 2,000 years have passed. It seems like such a long area, so far to travel on the other side of the world, where all of these events took place in this place called Judea, which is in the middle of nowhere. It seems so far. And it can seem, for us, very distant. And I don't just mean distant in time. I don't just mean distant in location. But I mean it can seem very distant for us in our spirit. We celebrate these great events that Jesus Christ has done, his birth in Bethlehem at Christmas time, and all the weeks that we've been here at Scap Level Trinity, we've been learning about the creation, that long before any of us were thought about, Jesus was thinking about us and preparing this world for us to live in, preparing a time and a place for each one of us to be a part in. But God seems so big that God can plan all of these things, that God could make this great universe and this great planet for us to live on. It seems so far away. God is so huge. It's hard for us, isn't it, to grasp the greatness of God. It's hard for us to grasp the love that is represented in a cross, because it seems so far away. And I'm speaking to you as a preacher. There are some weeks, some days, some hours where it seems like God is so far away. God has seemed so distant in my own life. Maybe you experienced that too. I don't know. I'm not going to follow you home, but I would guess that if I did, that there would be moments during the course of this week, after celebrating this holy day, this great celebration of Easter, at some point during the week, that's just going to seem like an event that took place 2,000 years ago. And you may begin to think, well, what does that have to do with me? What does that have to do with somebody sitting in Western Pennsylvania? What does that have to do with me? Why would you do that for someone like me? Because, again, you're not going to follow me home. But there's going to be times when I don't live up to the expectations of what you would think of as a pastor. There are times when I'm going to yell at my television as I play my video game. No, never. There are going to be times when I'm going to be surly and grumpy. Never ask my wife about the times I'm surly and grumpy. There are going to be times when I don't live up to my own expectations, let alone the expectations of holiness that Jesus has in store for me. How can I do that when God seems so far away? And those are the moments, my friends, my brothers and sisters, when I need to remember this cross. Not this particular cross, but remember the cross of Jesus Christ. This event that took place wasn't just something that took place a long time ago in a long, faraway place. But it's something that takes place in my very personal and real life. And let me explain what that looks like. I need to be crucified on this cross because of my sin, because of the things that I have done, the way that I live my life. I'm the one who needs to be crucified. But you see, even when I was living in that sinful way, even before I never did anything to deserve or earn it, Jesus took my place on that cross, the cross that I deserve, put himself in my place, in my life. And so the old self, the sinful self, needs to be crucified with Jesus so that the risen Christ, who stepped out of that tomb on Sunday morning, can live and work within me. The old self must be put to death. All of the things that are sinful in my life that I want to hold on to because they're fun, I need to give to Jesus. I need to be crucified so that that old self can be put to death. But Jesus did that for me in my life. I pray that every day I can look less like the sinful self and more like Jesus. More and more like the one who was willing to do all that for me. All this time I've been sitting here, I've been looking at these cloths that were left behind by our youth when they finished their service today. And as I'm looking at them, they it was very appropriate because it really did look like they'd just been left there, just like that, on the pew. And I can't help but think that that's what Jesus did with death. When Jesus died on the cross, he was buried. And there was never more an attested moment of somebody's death. The Roman soldiers were witnesses. The very people who put him on that cross, the Jewish people, the leaders and the scribes and priests and Pharisees, they were all witnesses to his death. But death didn't hold him. He left death behind and left those burial clothes behind. Just like that. That is not a postscript. That is not an addendum to the story. That's the story. That's the gospel. That's the good news. You see, friends, when your life is secure in the hands of Jesus Christ, when you are trusting in him by faith and his grace is within you, you leave death behind, just like Jesus left death behind. What does the gospel mean to me? It means that someday my body may die, but my soul will live forever. And Jesus will breathe life back into this body someday, somehow, some way. I don't know the metaphysics. I just know that Jesus said that will happen. And when it does, I'll be with him forever. So I have no fear of my physical earthly death. Just like Jesus left it behind, someday I'll leave it behind. And that promise is made available to every single one of you who is here. No one is here by accident. Whether you're hearing this message for the thousandth time or the first time, hear it again with fresh and anew. While you were a sinner, before you could do anything to earn anything that Jesus was giving to you, Jesus died for you. Not a plural you, a singular you. Every single one of you. Jesus died for you. And every single one of you, Jesus offers the same choice. Come and be crucified. That old life, that old way of living, give it to me. We'll crucify it on the cross. And I will give you, says Jesus, new life. New and everlasting life. What can death do against that? What can death do against our God? God loves you. And so do I. Amen.